Joshua chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, reading the entire chapter. Now it came about, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, Prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you are to cross this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it. To the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God gives you rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you beyond the Jordan, but you shall cross before your brothers in battle array, all your valiant warriors, and shall help them, until the Lord gives your brothers rest, as he gives you, and they also possess the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to your own land and possess that which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. They answered Joshua, saying, All that you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. What a time it was! We transport ourselves back 3,500 years this morning to the time when there was such an enormous change in every way of the life of this people. We consider the previous chapter of Deuteronomy 34, which recounts for us how that Moses, after 120 years, and 40 years specifically leading the people of Israel, is suddenly off of the scene. No man knowing his grave site, God himself having taken shovel in hand and having buried Moses, God being the undertaker at Moses' funeral service and the only mourner on site. But Joshua chapter 1, we cross over and suddenly we see that the action is continuing, that the people are to move forward. But think, having had only Moses for most of the people, Joshua and Caleb would have remembered much more, having been the only ones who were older, But for most of the people of Israel, they had seen their parents and their grandparents and their uncles and their aunts and so many having laid low in the wilderness. And Moses was the great old man, the one who had brought them out of Egyptian bondage. And now he was gone. But God was still leading his people on. God was still effecting a plan. God was still wanting to see the promise of the people in the land of promise. And God was still pressing forward. These people who didn't know anything else were to rely upon God's hand rather than a human hand. Now consider as we come into Joshua chapter 1, several things. How that God is the one who we are to set our eyes upon. It's natural for us to want to see flesh and blood, to see someone at the helm, to see who we are following after. But as we come into Joshua, though Joshua would come into very definite prominence as the leader through whom God would effect what he was doing, consider each verse. Verse 1, God speaks. You see, Moses' voice, which the people had become very accustomed to, suddenly it was silent and the people would never hear that voice again. But yet there was a voice that was still speaking, and that voice was still as strong as it ever had been. God speaks to the people. Moses, the servant of the Lord, he is dead, but yet God speaks. Verse 2, God commands. Unmistakably, God says to Joshua, "We have work to do, and you're the man who is going to lead the people. Now let's get going. We have a Jordan to cross, and you have not just a few spies to send across this time. You've got the whole nation of several million people and all of their stuff. No small task." Verse 3, God gives. "I have given it to you." God was the one who was going to give these people a land of their very own, where they had come out of Egyptian slavery, where they had a few pots and pans. They had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and time again, when they had come to certain portions of land, God had said to them, "No, I've given that to the sons of Moab," or, "No, I've given that to somebody else." God was leading them on, and he was going to give them a land. God gives. But also verse 4, God draws lines. He very specifically said, "Now this is going to be the borders around your territory, the territory that I'm giving to you." God draws lines in the geography of this world, and God draws lines in the spiritual geography of our landscape, and to our peril, we venture over those lines. God is the authority, and we come before him as the one who draws lines. Now, it's very politically incorrect in this world to draw lines of morality, of conscience. People would say, "Well, you do what you think is right, and I'll do what I think is right, and don't tell me what I should do." But God comes and he says, without apology or without explanation, without justification, he says, "Look, this is the way it's going to be. Now do it." Verse 5, God is the one who strengthens. To Joshua, who undoubtedly felt absolutely overwhelmed with the mantle that was falling upon him, God comes to him and he says, "Look, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you." There's Emmanuel. "I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. What strength that must have poured into Joshua. Verse 6, be strong and courageous. God comes along and he encourages and he speaks that he is going to give the people possession, that he is a God who fulfills his promises. Not one of them just, oh well, let's just forget about that one. We'll just let that one fall off the table. God is the one who encourages and he comes, and the promises that he has made, he says, that one is still as good today as when I first made it. I haven't forgotten about it. It is something you can take to the bank as gold. But also verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful. God also warns. God also warns. Well, let's come back and consider this a little bit more carefully. This has been a little bit quick, but it points out that God is the key initiator. God is the key actor here. Lest we come to Joshua and we say, well, it's Joshua's name on the book, and obviously it's all about him. Not at all. It's about the Lord who came and called Joshua, who walked with Joshua, who directed Joshua and commanded him and worked through him in every way, just as he had worked through Moses so marvelously. It doesn't take us long, but we go back to Moses and the burning bush, Exodus chapter 3. And Moses had absolutely no interest in what God's plans were. He says, look, God, you got the wrong man. You need to go and find whoever you want, but not me. Choose one of the thousands and thousands of options that you have, but leave me out of this whole grand venture that you have. I'm 80 years old. My time has come and gone. Leave me out of it. But God said, Moses, you're the one I want. And Moses, God worked through him. And the same thing was going to take place here. Joshua, whether you like it or not, God is going to do a mighty thing through you. But it was God at work. It wasn't Joshua saying, okay, look, fellas, we got to do something here. You know, Moses, the old man, he's gone, he's off the scene. And now we need to have a committee meeting and we need to pull this together. We need to sort of rally our courage and we need to get the best minds to formulate a plan as to how we're going to affect this. God was the one who was yet watching over Israel. He who slumbers not nor sleeps, he is the one who also does not die. Moses would die. Later on, Joshua would be, there'd be a grave for him too. And for David and for all who would come thereafter. But God is the one who watches over his own. So it comes about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. Now, some people would have a difficult time with that. But it's given twice there in verse 1 alone, and we hear it time and time again in verse 7 and later on. It's pushed at us, Moses, the servant of the Lord. There's two ways for us to look at this. First of all, we might look at it with a bit of surprise. Moses, a servant? Yes, in God's perspective, because here it is God who is speaking. He looks down and each and every one of us are simply his servants. Paul, the great apostle, he was God's bond servant in like manner. Moses, he was God's servant. He served for a time and then he was laid aside and others would come to take his place. God comes and he says, Moses, he truly is dead. He's gone. He's not coming back. but we've got work to do. You have taken time in which to grieve. You have shed your tears. You have recounted all that has been done through Moses' hand. But now it's time for you to get up, arise, and move forward in the strength which I provide. You, Joshua, and all this people, every last one who wanted to move forward, God would be there to strengthen them that they might move forward. I know that each time that we gather, there are people who come from a week of shouting and rejoicing. And there are those who come and we gather together. There are those who come from a week of absolutely crushing experiences. God would want to speak into your heart, arise, cross this barrier, this obstacle which has kept you out of all that He, God, would have for you. We come to Joshua, and we will pursue several chapters in the weeks ahead. We come to this chapter because I see that it so carefully parallels what is taking place in the life of the disciples immediately following Jesus dying and being raised again, and then very quickly ascending and being taken away from His close followers. I'm sure that there were times when those disciples thought, what are we going to do? That there was a certain amount of panic. Now, Jesus had given them clear instructions on what they were to do. He told them that they were to wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. But I'm sure that there were stray thoughts when they wanted to take things into their own hands. But fortunately, wait is exactly what they did do. But it was a time of change. Jesus, who had physically, bodily been with them those 3 years, when they had a question, they could ask Him in person. But suddenly He was gone. He was off the scene. Here, in Joshua, we come and what do we do? How do we move forward? Do we move forward? Do we go back? In the book of Acts, we find that they moved forward under the hand of God to do greater exploits than they had ever done before, and it was all in the power of God, not in the strength which they brought to the table. Joshua chapter 1, God speaks to Joshua, and He says, be strong and courageous. God says that 3 times, and the people re-echo that at the very end, encouraging Joshua to move forward and to strengthen him. But see the secret that God lays out. God speaks and He commands, He gives and He draws lines, He strengthens and He encourages, He warns. But look most especially in verse 7 and 8. God says, only be strong and very courageous, be careful to do all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand, to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. God says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You recall when Jesus was being tempted there in the wilderness, Satan coming to Him with 3 temptations, which really sum up for us all of the temptations which we face. Jesus, each time He goes back to the Scriptures, here God, as He is speaking to Joshua, He takes Joshua and He says, Joshua, you need to have your head, your heart, your whole being constantly immersed in the very Word of God. Now, it comes perhaps as a little bit of a strange thing, because we could say, well, Joshua, you were there. Perhaps God could have said, well, look, Joshua, just reflect upon your own experiences and upon those things which you have gone through. But God says to Joshua, he says, Joshua, the Word of God which lives and abides, which though the grass withers and the flower falls off, yet the Word of God, it stands sure, and the test of time does not change it. Your memory might become faulty and waver, but the Word of God is there for you to build upon. And so God says to Joshua, Joshua, if you are going to have strength, if you are going to have what it takes to lead these people forward, you need this. You need the very word which I gave to my servant Moses. And this book shall not depart from you. But see God's instructions here. He says, you're not just to consult it for 1 hour on a Sunday morning or a Sabbath morning once a week. But God says it's a little bit more than that. It's actually a whole lot more than that. He says, you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. And God brings along with that his promise, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Friends, we do not rely upon our experience or upon the experience of others, but we come back to this very word of God. If this was the command for Joshua, who had such rich, unbelievable experiences, having walked side by side with Moses, having been there at times when we would love to have been just for a moment, he took it all in. Even in the tabernacle of meeting, in the tent of meeting, we read of how that Moses would come and go, but Joshua would just love to linger in the presence of God there in the tent of meeting. What rich experiences he had, but God comes to him and he says, Joshua, I want you to be careful, because there are going to be twists and turns in the road. Sometimes it'll feel like you're completely turned upside down. You won't know which way is up and which way is down. You need to have the very Word of God abiding in you, permeating every last bit of your fiber, and then you will have success. And God underscores it all, and he says, have I not commanded you? Now remember that Joshua is hearing God's voice. He's saying, have I not commanded you? Joshua is not standing in front of the selection committee of the sons of Israel as to whether he would be appointed with this task of taking up the mantle and leading them forward. God was the one who had said, Joshua, you're it. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. I'm sure there was times of deep trembling, times when he was dismayed. But God says, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age. The Gospel of Matthew begins at Bethlehem with the announcement of Emmanuel, God with us. And that same Gospel account concludes with Emmanuel, Jesus saying to his disciples, and lo, I am with you not just at Bethlehem or Galilee or Samaria or Jerusalem or at the tomb of Lazarus, but, "And lo, I am with you always, to the very end of the age and the very end of the world." Joshua speaks to the people, and he says, "Okay, friends, this is it." He speaks to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh. He reminds them of the covenant that they had made with Moses. And they say, "Yes, sir, we will do this." Joshua was written and details the life of a tremendous leader. And it has been studied, as it should be, by leaders today for understanding of how that they should conduct themselves. But lest any of us say, "Well, look, I'm not a leader. I am really all by myself and nobody looks to me," here are God-given principles. God spoke to Joshua. God speaks to you in just the very same way. When our eyes get fixed upon other things, and when other voices fall silent, God speaks still. And when we get confused about what direction to take, we need to understand that God commands still. In a world where commands are taboo, and when we think that, well, it's all up for grabs, God's voice cuts through with authority. When we find that very often promises are made and promises are forgotten, God comes to us and He fulfills His word. He gives. God draws lines. God comes to each of us and He strengthens us deep within our hearts, and He encourages. But He also warns. He also warns. But it especially is based upon the Word of God, and that this is where we build. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we read that the people in the wilderness, they went round and they drank from the rock, and that rock was Christ. These things are written not simply as history lessons, but these things are written for our admonition, that we might walk in them, and that we might be wise unto salvation. Lord, we hear from your word, and our heart's desire is that we would be so strengthened, even as Joshua was so many years ago. I pray that our hearts would be set upon you, even as Joshua so long ago was called to serve. Lord, may we take this to heart. Your voice speaks still. And Lord, you are there to provide, you are there to encourage, you are there to counsel, you are there to warn, you are there to instruct us at every turn. But may we hear again the authority of your word, the power of your word, the urgent necessity of your word in each of our lives, that we might move forward and that we might know the success, not in terms of this world, but in what really matters, the success as you evaluate. So, Lord, work in each of our hearts, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.